So we're in a series titled Testimony, and man, thank you guys. It's awesome. We're in a series titled Testimony, and every time in the series, what I want to do is review what testimony is, but then I also want to give you something a little new, a new truth about testimony. Not that there's nothing new under the sun, right? It's all from Scripture, but new to this series, right? And then we'll hear testimony. Like, what you just heard was some testimony from me. What's the purpose of that? Well, what is testimony? Here's the review. Testimony is, do we have the definition? I don't remember. Yep, there we go. No, we don't. That's my fault. Testimony is a written or spoken record of the supernatural working of God. We've learned that. I've said that for the last 3 weeks. A written or spoken record of the supernatural working of God. And in order to have a testimony, or in order to be a witness, you must have a testimony. And we're not secondhand witnesses, so you must have to have a personal interaction with God, Him supernaturally working in your life. Now, we've also talked about what is the purpose of testimony. Now, if this is super fast, go back and listen to the podcast from the last couple of weeks, okay? Because I want you to get it. We talked about what is the purpose of testimony in Psalm 119 verse 111, it says that your testimonies are my heritage. Notice it says your testimonies. A testimony doesn't have us as the main character. It has Jesus and what He's done. He's the main character of a testimony. We get to play a part in what He's doing or be a part of what He's doing. Amen? But it says your testimonies are my heritage. That's the purpose. They're my heritage. Romans 8, we are heirs of God. So when I hear a testimony, I'm hearing what God's done in you, but it's a promise of what He wants to do in me. Amen. Amen. They're my heritage, yeah? So the definition of a heritage is something that is transmitted by or acquired from a predecessor, okay? So testimonies are our heritage. So what that means is when I share this testimony of how I walk a life of contentment, and how the alarm system, when I'm not in content, is to begin rejoicing and putting my mind back on Him because I can do all things through Christ. When I share that, what I'm doing is I'm a predecessor. Maybe if you don't live that life, then I'm experiencing a territory of our relationship with God that maybe some of you haven't experienced. So I'm sharing your heritage. So I'm transmitting to you, and depending on how you hear and how you receive, you're acquiring from me the faith to walk in that very same promise. That's what a testimony is. It says, they are the joy of my heart. So David honors them. Now here's the new for the series, not new because it's in Scripture and it's been known for thousands of years, but Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. Then I fell down at His feet to worship Him. This is John the Revelator writing, and he went to worship an angel. But he said to me, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. And here's the point. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of what? Yes, you're awake. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So what is testimony? Testimony is a written or spoken record of the supernatural working of God. What is prophecy? Prophecy is written or spoken what God intends to do in the future. Yes? Okay. Now, does prophecy have to happen? It's a good question. There's multiple types of prophecy. A certain type of prophecy, every time, it must happen. Like when the Bible says Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world, meaning it was the plan for Jesus to go to the cross for us. Isaiah 61, what he wrote, it was destined to happen. And there are some prophecy that our response determines whether or not that prophecy will happen. It's relationship. Now don't get your, you know, don't get all like, whoa, hold on. What is he saying? I'll show you in Scripture. If I don't show you in Scripture, don't believe me. But it's relationship. It's like a father throwing the ball Remember this analogy I shared a couple weeks ago? Father throwing the baseball with his son. God is a God of relationship. He throws the word at us. We receive the word and we act on it. And as we do that, we get better and better at walking out this relationship with our Heavenly Father. For instance, Jonah. God told Jonah to prophesy to Nineveh that it would be destroyed in 40 days. That's a prophecy. Right? Jonah didn't want to go and ran the other way. We all know the story, or many of us do. He was eaten by a fish, spit out on the land. Jonah ended up going to Nineveh and ended up prophesying. Ooh, that just spit bad. Good thing you guys aren't sitting close. That's when you know I'm really preaching. Ended up prophesying exactly what God said. And because of the people's response, the prophecy didn't happen. Amen. Our response in certain types of prophecy plays a part in whether or not the prophecy will happen, because it's relational. All right, you guys see that? So testimony is one of those types of prophecies. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of what Jesus has done shows what God intends to do in your life. If you're sitting and God reveals what he's done, to see his working, God is revealing it to you. Why is he doing that? Because he's showing you what he wants to do in your life. But you have a response. And that response is probably one of four things. Let me get my Bible. In Luke chapter 8, this is mostly just to hold it at you and do this as we're talking. But no, I'm going to read it too. In Luke chapter 8, in Matthew 13, Luke 8, and somewhere in Mark, we see the parable of the sower. Jesus tells the parable, you know, a sower went to sow seed, and he sows some seed on the path, and the birds came and ate it. And then he sows some seed on the rocky ground, and it grew up quickly, but the sun, it didn't have any root, and the sun scorched it, and it died. And then he sows some seed on the thorny ground, and it grew up, and the thorns choked it, and it died. It didn't produce any fruit. And then he sows some seed on the good ground, and it produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold, right? That's what it says? Amen? And then Jesus goes on to explain to his disciples what the parable meant, and it applies to testimony. Jesus says the seed is the word of God, okay? The seed is the word. He said, and when he threw some on the path, let's read it, in Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, verse 12. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. In Matthew 13, it says, they hear, but they don't understand, right? So that's those that come to church on a Sunday, or they're listening to their friend in normal daily life share a testimony about what God's done, and they say, oh, that's great, cool, that could never really happen to me. They don't really believe, and they reject and go away. You know what the enemy does? Ha! It takes that word so it never produces fruit in your life. Yeah? Yeah. Amen? Amen? Or as Olivier would say, amen, amen? I love that man. And then he said, the ones, verse 13, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in the time of testing, fall away. So that's those, you share this testimony, and they're like, yeah, I want to do that. In the middle of my storm, I'm going, praise the Lord, I'm going to dance, and I'm going to shout, and it's going to be awesome. And they go, and a storm comes, and they do it, and it's great. And they go the next day, and it gets real hard, and they're like, that didn't work yesterday. I'm going back to what I normally do. And so the word doesn't produce any fruit in their life. 14, and as for those that fell among the thorns, they are those that hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and their fruit does not mature. In Matthew, it says, and they don't bear fruit. Anyway, that's those that hear the word, and it's like, awesome, I believe, it's wonderful. But then they go out, and they're just distracted by the world constantly. And because of their constant distraction, they don't stand in the word. The Bible says, remain in the word, then you will know the word, and the word will set you free, or the truth, right? Part of the truth setting you free is believing it enough to stand in it, in relationship. Thank you, Jesus. It's wonderful. So that's important too. You hear the testimonies, you're like, oh, that's wonderful, that's awesome. But then you get so distracted as you walk out that you're not able to, you don't stand in it. Like when we, the first time we talked about healing, and you guys, there was people that were actually healed here in the service, and you guys prayed for one another, and many people were healed in the service, which is awesome. Is there anybody here that was healed that Sunday? Three or four? One, two, three. Just look around. Look at the hands. Just raise your hand high. Hey, actually healed. Okay. That's cool. But many people, man, they're like, oh, that's awesome. And I challenge you guys, go pray for people. Many people just got distracted by the cares of this life, and it never produced any fruit. Well, look, I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you, this is Jesus said, be careful how you hear. So because I love you, and I care about you, I want you to be careful how you hear, because I want it to be the fourth one is what? And for that in the good soil, they are those that hearing the word hold fast in it with an honest and a good heart and bear fruit with patience. See, there's the key. Sometimes the miracle, or sometimes the deliverance and the thing is instant, where it not just happens instantly here, but you see it here. That's amazing. And then other times you have to wait for the seed to take root and bear fruit. And sometimes that could take years. And it says the bear fruit in patience. You can't have patience without love. Love is patient, right? So we believe he loves us. And we receive the fact that he's a good father and a good God. And so we can stand that no matter, even if the storms say what he said isn't true, I'm going to stand in it even when I don't understand. Because he loves me, so I can be patient. And guess what? Even if you're the first three, he loves you, so he's patient. And he'll continue to sow the word in your life until hopefully you receive it before you die. Amen? Amen. All right. That being said, this is my favorite part. We're going to continue with some testimonies, and I get to introduce to you, most of you already know them, so it's not an introduction. But if you're new, I get to introduce to you two of my favorite people in the world. They're elders of the church. They have been appointed that, husband and wife. Jerry says he old. Well, Loretta said old. Old in the Lord. But man, they're amazing people, and if you stick around long enough, hopefully you'll get to know them. Because by getting to know them, you're getting to know Jesus, and you'll see that in their testimony today. So Jerry and Heidi, would you guys probably come up the stairs? Yeah. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, if you don't mind, I'm gonna talk to Jerry first, and then you as far as the testimonies go. Yeah. These are an amazing married couple that God has just blessed with a deep relationship with him. And my wife and I get to be a part of it. They hang out all the time at our house, which is fun. We go to their house from time to time. But I meet with Jerry also weekly for relationship. But he disciples men. That's his full-time job God has given him. And Man, it's just awesome. Some of the men that he disciples, that he meets with weekly, would you guys stand up real quick? Any that are in here? If you can. Look around. I mean, and that's not just here. So he also disciples many others that don't go to this church or that are in other places. And man, I would just encourage you. You want to grow in your identity in Christ? Get to know this man. Yeah, which is awesome. So anyway, I'm going to ask both of you, but I'll start with you, Jerry. Testimony, spoken record of the supernatural working of God. Man, I want to hear some story of how God has supernaturally worked in, on, or through your life.
Amen. You know, when I was growing up, I was never enough. Mm. And I felt like I had to be the source. And until I understood that news that was too good to be true.
Come on.
And that news that's too good to be true is the power of God that leads to salvation. And once I understood that in that I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, understood that I had to be content in receiving the gift from heaven, that was the only source. Mm-hmm. And as I was content in that, God was enough in my life. Mm-hmm. Well, it was just amazing that how God can take a similar scenario and put somebody in your life with feeling like they're not enough. And where you would be the one to interact with them, to point them to the source. As you are content with that gift. And this goes back to our youngest daughter. You know, we have five together. She graduated from college. We were living in Orlando, and she gets an interview in Orlando. Well, she calls Heidi and says, "Hey, Mom, can I live there? Because I'm having an interview." And man, I started thinking, wait a minute now, we kind of settled with our little life here. You know, you guys have come home, you left, and, and it's like, what happened, though, is I reverted back to me not being enough.
Come on.
Me being the source. God, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to change her life? Because at the time, I mean, we couldn't even mention God around her. And, it was like, you know, he had to remind me that he is the source. And as she moved into the house, you know, we were having relationships together. It was good. And then I'm sitting upstairs one day and he goes, and actually he told me the reason she needed to come to the house was so that she would belong. And I didn't quite get that. But as I continued to let him unfold this thing, I'm sitting upstairs one day and he goes, "You need to wash your feet." And I said, you know, I didn't even want to respond to that because there again, I'm going back to me being the source. And he says, and I struggle with that because I said, I can't even mention the word God around her. And she just is like a bulldog, you know. And so I continued to struggle with that day in and day out. And finally one day I said, "Lord, I know what that means in the word, but what does it really mean?" And he brought that back up again, so that she will belong. You have to wash your feet. And says, and man, I read it in that same time. I read it in scripture where Jesus was talking to the disciples. You know, if you want to share life with me, I have to wash your feet. And so, I remember going downstairs one day, and she and Heidi are sitting on the couch. I go get a bowl, bring a towel. And I walk in the door. I mean, I walk through the doorway, and Heidi looks at me, and she sees the bowl, and just she loses it. And I sit down, and I tell Taylor the story. Mm-hmm. You know, the reason that I need to wash your feet is so that you will belong. There again, her always trying to be the source, her not being enough. And, you know, how we can get in the way of some things, just being obedient to the fact of that, well, it was not an immediate change. Mm-hmm. But she moves out and she lives on her own, and then she meets a guy, and before you know it, a couple years down the road, she's telling Heidi, you know, Mom, something's going on inside of me where, you know how I love the dogs and I love you? She goes, it's just like butterflies. And her mom says, this is the Holy Spirit drawing her in. And before you know it, she became a follower of Christ.
Come on.
And 2 years ago, before she and her husband got married, I was able to baptize them, and then I got to marry them. And it just goes back to show how God can use you for a supernatural, in a supernatural way.
So just to comment on that, that moment when God's speaking to you and your flesh is fighting, you know, anybody else experienced that before? Well, you know you need to do something? Yeah? Am I the only one?
Yeah.
Or me and Jerry? No. Where God is, that was an encounter with God. And in order for the fruit of that encounter to happen, it took surrender.
Amen.
And I see that in my own life and in your life. When you have an encounter with God, you want the fruit of relationship with God, it takes surrender.
Yeah.
So how did my question for you is, how did you washing her feet, we heard how it impacted her, how did it impact you afterwards?
Oh my goodness.
He told me to interview him.
Yeah, I did. it brought a whole new level mm-hmm. of understanding the love of God.
Come on.
You know, I mean, how he washed me clean by the washing of the word. And when you think about that word, that incorruptible seed that he puts in, I mean, it lasts forever. It endures forever. Mm-hmm. And by me getting to wash her feet and implementing that, oh my goodness, it's like this light that we get to walk into, to have fellowship with God, practicing the truth. This fruit just continues to flow outward. You know, it was just an amazing, it brought us closer together in our marriage.
That was my next question, because I saw, as he was talking about washing the feet, it impacted you sitting on the couch. How did this event affect you?
Those of you that know me know that it's been really hard for me not to say something and correct his story. No, I'm not going to correct his story. but I do want to say that her father, Jerry's not her birth father, and her father said that she is not his daughter because she married a black man and has beautiful black and white babies. And the thing that stuck out to me when he washed her feet, because like I was like the referee, you know, in the house, because she was pretty hurt and angry. And he said, God, it's not the exact words, but he said, God told me to do this because as your daddy, I want you to know that I love you and you belong. And it wrecked her. And it broke that thing in her that made her so angry at God. And it opened the door for him to start moving in her life. And of course, it was so powerful for me. And it was so humbling. And he's a man of God. God put him in her life.
And you know, not only that, he not only did God get a daughter, he gave me a beautiful daughter that was rejected, and now she is just an awesome mom, an awesome wife, and a great mother. Just loves Jesus. She told a story just the other night. I was standing at the counter, and she had pulled into McDonald's. And you know, you have you're sitting there at the drive-thru waiting to get in line for the next person. And well, it was her turn, and this little 17-year-old girl tries to inch in, and Taylor pulls on in. Well, she says she looks in the mirror and she sees this little girl just giving it to her, you know, doing the finger and just yeah, yeah, yeah. And she goes, what is this about, God? And it's like God says, she was like you. Mm. And then he says, well, how do I respond? And she goes, you buy her breakfast. And she goes, why should I buy her breakfast? Because she was like you.
Come on.
And so, you know, the fruit of, think about the fruit of that whole scenario. Yeah. And we get, I mean, not only do we witness to her, she is now a witness to us.
So, scripturally, we love because he first loved us. But the beautiful part of co-laboring with God is he wants to use us to show his love to those around us. So the others, the people around us, experience the love of God through us. We get to be a part of that. What you just heard was God first loving her, or first showing his love to her in a way that she could receive it, or when she finally received it through Jerry. And then his love changed her, where she received relationship with the one who initiated that, him. And then not only changed her, but then began to impact others through her in the same way he impacted her through him. That's how he wants to move in your life. Amen? Amen. All right.
Can I stay here?
Yeah, you can. Originally, I was like, we planned it out. Like, all right, Heidi's going to go after Jerry, and you know, so then we'll swap. And it doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
You could have sat here, Heidi.
I was trying to be obedient.
Well, I was. Anyway, I was trying to stick to the plan, but you know what?
So I just want to say really fast that the Thursday before, my eardrum ruptured, and we've been praying, and I went to the ENT Monday, and he said it was clearing up and it was healing itself. Praise the Lord! But it's just been stopped up. Like I can't hear anything in my ear. And I just keep praying and thanking God for healing. I've had a lot of people pray for me. Anybody wants to pray for me, pray for me. And this morning, we prayed again. And Felicia prayed for me. And some other people prayed for me. And then all of a sudden, like, I yawned. And, like, when I yawn, my ear opens. And it goes back. And so I kept yawning everywhere. You know, I was just yawning all this time. My ear.
She wasn't tired.
My ear is opening up. When you haven't had like a ear completely blocked, it's very frustrating and it's very hard to hear. And that's why I don't come into worship, because I was just trying to protect my eardrum. So anyway, I just want to praise God that, like Pastor David said, I'm going to keep yawning because this ear is opening up. And it's going to keep, you know, it's going to open up for good and my hearing is going to be, you know, amen, completely restored. Yeah. And I just want to thank him for that.
Amen. Yeah, ear open in Jesus' name.
Yep. And because it didn't open the first time we prayed, doesn't mean that God didn't heal me on the cross when he died. And I'm going to keep over and over and over, you know, pressing in and expecting that to happen.
It's that'll be another message. Go ahead.
I was trying to be like, God, can that be my testimony? Because I really don't want to do the testimony that he told me to do. But I'll do it, and I'll try to do it in the quick version. But I didn't know what I was going to share because there's so much. And I told Pastor David that, gosh, I'm so excited about what God's doing, and all I want to do is look forward. Like, what's the next thing, God? What's the next testimony? And it's so encouraging to myself to have that mindset and be looking forward to what he's doing. And there's just so much testimony in my life and in our life. But there was a time when Jerry and I, pretty much our marriage was destroyed, pretty much since it started. And it was probably like this the first 5 years of our marriage. It was really, really, really bad. And, you know, divorce was on the horizon, but we had been divorced and we didn't want to put our kids through that. So I'm driving home Friday from work, and I'm like, all right, Lord, what am I going to share? And he's like, I want you to share this. And I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to share that. And the reason is because it's very humbling, because I'd love to share a story that talked about how God told me something and I was obedient and something wonderful happened. But this is really a testimony of, you know, some things that God did in my life because of things that I'm not real proud of. And so the word that he's been speaking over me or to me for months and months is it's not about you. And so when he said it to me, I was just like, oh, I don't want to do that, but I will, because it's not about me.
Amen.
And he has completely redeemed me.
Amen.
So several months ago, I don't even know, and correct me when I'm wrong, because David's part of the story, Pastor David's part of the story. But I spend a lot of time at their house pretty much every Wednesday, and just spending time with Courtney. And Jerry used to have his men's group on Wednesday nights. And I was over there, and I don't even remember what we were talking about. But Pastor David will come in and out, but he was just, the kids weren't there, and he was just, you know, talking with us, and we were all talking. And he said, hey, I need to ask you a question. I think the Lord wants me to ask you something. And I just look at him, because, I mean, we've been hanging out long enough, like, where I know, oh, this is something I might want to avoid.
Oh, my.
And he's like, I really feel like God wants me to ask you something, but you can't get upset. You can't get mad. I don't remember whether it was you can't get mad or you can't get upset. Like, don't, if I tell you, and I'm like, well, I'm like, how do you expect me to respond to that? I mean, God's telling me to tell you something, but don't get upset. But my heart is whatever, God, whatever it takes. And so I was like, all right, tell me. And he's like, why are you so hard on Jerry? And I'm like, what do you mean, why am I so hard on Jerry? Because first of all, they meet. And I'd be like, what y'all talking about me when you're like, I mean, y'all can talk, but just don't tell the dirty stuff, you know? Don't tell all the stuff.
And just so you know, we don't. We don't talk about Heidi. We talk about
like, what is he
growing
telling
in Christ.
You? Yeah. So I immediately got defensive, just like betrayal just jumped on me. I didn't know what he was talking about, but I will tell you that the Lord had been speaking to me about the way that I talk to my husband. And I don't know if I'm the only one, but yeah, I was talking to him worse than I talk to my enemies. And I would respond to him in very unkind ways. And you know, God's moving in my life, and he's moving in our lives if we let him. So he had been talking to me about it, and I would have never told anybody because there was shame. It was just so much shame. Well, here I am with Pastor David and Courtney, and he says this, and all of this stuff just rises up in me, and I want to fight. Like, I can't even explain it. Like, God's healed me in so many of these areas, but everything's coming at me all at once, and I have a split decision to make I have a split second to make a decision. So the enemy's coming. All of these things from the enemy are coming, and then the Holy Spirit's talking to me at the same time. And and we had conversation in that, but I began to like, if you can violently cry, I was violently crying, and I think it terrified Pastor David and Courtney because they were both just like, and I could not stop crying. I cried a cry that I had, and I've done a lot of crying, like the ugly cries. I cried a cry that I had never heard or seen or experienced, and I could not stop. No matter how hard I tried, I could not stop. And the Holy Spirit told me in the middle of it, I'm setting you free. I'm delivering you, and I'm healing you. And I didn't know what from, and it didn't matter. But all of this was going on, and it really had nothing to do with the question. Pastor David was obedient. Like, he didn't want, you could tell he didn't want to do it, but because he loved me, and he cared more about God doing his work in my life and me having an opportunity to respond to God than he cared about our friendship or our relationship. And so I don't even know how long that went on, but it was a big, ugly thing.
Long time. Too long.
It did go on for a long time. And in the crying, I was like, why would God? I felt betrayed by God. I'm like, why would God tell you that? Like, he knows how hard I'm working. He knows I'm trying to be kind. It's just, I don't know why I'm responding the way. And I felt betrayed by God. I'm like, God, why would you expose me like this? You know I'm trying. You know my heart. You know I love him. So I'm going through this whole thing. And in the meantime, I'm having to choose not my feelings, because everything, I wanted to run out of there so fast. I don't know how many times I was like getting up, and he would not. It was like he was pinning me to that couch.
Not me, the Holy Spirit.
I knew that he wasn't going to let me go. And I chose to stay. And I chose to let him do what he was doing. And because I knew it was good. And we had conversation right after that. And I said, you know, the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to say, but what about Jerry? Because he does this and this and this and this and this. And the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me. He was like, this is about you. This is about you responding to him regardless. Now, he is a great husband. God has completely redeemed our marriage. We're best friends. We're not perfect yet, but he's getting us there.
Amen.
But I wanted to say, but Pastor David, you don't know. Like, let me tell you. You know, let me tell you all of the things that excuse it. And the Holy Spirit says no. And I never spoke a word. And I told him, I was like, I want to do this, but I know God won't let me because this is about me. Like, I'm responsible for my actions. I'm responsible for how I respond. And am I responding in Christ? And he wants me. And that day, it broke something in me because I let myself be vulnerable, open, and wounded. It also put me in a place with my pastor and Courtney that made me trust them, because anybody been hurt in the church or hurt by people that love you, and I've been there, and I was afraid to love them. I was like waiting for something to drop, and it just sealed something in us, you know, in what God's doing in this church and in ministry. That all of that happened. There's so many more things God did in that moment, but the testimony is, you know, you can respond by your feelings, which are the enemy. The truth is, Pastor David loved me. It wasn't calling me out. It wasn't trying to hurt me. It wasn't trying to stick up for his buddy. It was because he was being obedient to the Holy Spirit and he loved me. And the truth is, God loves me desperately and wants me to change and wants to empower me. And sometimes different circumstances that wouldn't be our favorite circumstances have to happen. And we have to trust that in the middle of it, he's a good God, and that he loves me, and that his promises are true, and I can trust him. And I've been walking with him long enough to where I was at the point where that couldn't have happened a couple years before. But like Pastor David preached several weeks ago, he gets us ready here before he gets us ready here. And because I have been choosing to choose him and not my circumstance and not my feelings, I was able to withstand the surgery that he did at that moment.
So there's two aspects of that for you guys. Some of you on the receiving end, you have to understand, and Proverbs says a fool rejects correction, but a wise person is thankful for it. And we can only not be foolish in Christ and realizing that he loves us. And so, you know, as you're growing in relationship, at Real Church, you really grow in relationships in small groups. Just so you know, if you're not in a small group, you know, this is great, but small groups is where we really grow in Christ, man. I mean, this is just kind of an injection of encouragement. But as you take the step to build relationships in Christ and with one another, you know, there's a vulnerableness to letting people into your life. Well, with that comes the ability to receive from the Lord, from people. And in that, the willingness to not be defensive, but the willingness to receive what the Lord's trying to say as you're walking in relationship. And man, it's crucial. Because we need one another in that way. Alone, we're ineffective and unproductive, but together, we're the body of Christ. And so learning to receive correction and encouragement and all of the above from each other is part of being the church. You know, once again, this is great, but this isn't really church. Church happens in small groups. You know, this is just encouragement. So I'd encourage you, man, to allow people, the body of Christ, into your life so they can encourage you. And the other part of that is on my end, for some of you, that's what you need to hear today, is being willing to obey the Holy Spirit and love the person more than you love what they think about you. Being willing to love them enough to say something that could possibly sacrifice the friendship because you care more about them receiving the love of God than you do about their opinion of you. And just so you know, in correction, if it doesn't hurt you to correct someone, you're the wrong person to do it because you don't care about them. If it hurts you to correct someone, then go to the Lord and you're probably the right person to do it. If you're not really nervous about it and all, you know, if you're not concerned, that kind of thing, you don't care enough about them to correct them. Don't talk about them and just love them and get to know them. Yeah?
Yeah, and so my biggest thing, too, that I just want to share with you guys, like, I grew up in a very abusive, terrible childhood, neglected, abusive in every kind of way. Maybe one day you'll hear about that. But I can stand here, even though I'm sitting, I stand. I can tell you that any hurt, any betrayal, any negative, hurtful, painful, no matter what you've been through, you can trust God.
Amen.
And the more you practice it, because you're practicing it, the stronger you're going to get at it, the more your faith is going to grow, and you're going to be a witness in other people's lives. It stinks. Like, it stunk that night, and it was ugly, but it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. Just, I'm telling you, it's worth it
I'm sorry for interrupting, but what are the results of that? So since that happened, and once again, I just was jumping at it. I shouldn't have interrupted you, but the results of that night, you know, it's been a couple of months since then. How has your life changed?
I'm a perfect wife. No, I'm just
But
it's a perfect wife before that. I can't explain to you how much my life has changed. It's just, I'm seeing God do things in my life and in this church and in ministry. Like, he called me to minister to women. He called us to minister to married people. I mean, and men. I mean, there is a trust and an intimacy with God that I never thought that I could have. And the not about me, it's not about me. Like, I don't even have to worry about it. I don't have to know what to say, because he's gonna tell me, and I know he's gonna tell me. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, you're gonna get through this and that he loves you, I know it.
Amen.
Like, I experienced it. Mm-hmm. I still experience it.
Come on.
And that is powerful, and it's true. And I can say it with complete faith, because I believe it. So I believe it with everything in me.
Come on.
And until we get that, mm-hmm. and until we get there,
she's a preacher. She's gonna
the
going.
Body of Christ is gonna respond according to what they see God doing in you.
Mm-hmm.
People want to hear what God tells you. You know, they want to hear, oh, God told me this, God told me that. But what really matters is them seeing what God told you.
That's right.
In your life, and the fruit in your life. And it's so good, y'all. It is, God is so good.
What matters is his word becoming our flesh.
Jerry's like, let him talk, honey.
Like us being transformed. So my question for you, Jerry, is she's going to keep preaching. My question, and we'll end on this, is how have you seen her change since that night?
You know, sitting right here, I was just thinking how supernatural this whole thing is, that we get to sit on this stage together and minister together and be part of God's story. And since that has happened, I mean, we were in small groups together, and we're just like a power-packed team.
Mm-hmm.
And as God gives a word to her, it's just like I get to minister to that word with other people around. It's just phenomenal, you know.
It's fun. I love, like I said in the beginning, I love being your guys' pastor because I get to see this kind of stuff all the time. But you know what's even more fun for me is seeing you guys minister to one another and to others outside. Because as a pastor, Ephesians 4:11-12, my role is not to do ministry as a pastor. My role is to equip you to do ministry. So this testimony you hear, one, it's for you to be free and know that God can free you. But two, it's for you to walk in and help others to be free by letting his love flow out of you. And that's the joy that I get of doing this. It's awesome. So we're gonna end Chevy. Chevy's our host. He's going to come up and close us. But before, or as he's coming up, I want to invite you to stand. Thank you. And I want to also invite you, if you feel comfortable with it, just to lift your hands. It's just kind of a sign of surrender. What you just heard was encounters with God followed by surrender that resulted in life change. God wants to encounter your life followed by surrender, which results in deeper life change day by day through you and the ones around you. So I just want you to ask your Heavenly Father, just say this, Heavenly Father, how do you want me to respond today? Man, if every time we gather, Sunday, small groups, hanging out, going to Starbucks with our friends, whatever, God speaks through, encourages one another, and gives us a way to respond, to walk out our relationship with him even deeper, that's called church. Thank you for tuning in today to the Real Church Podcast. I pray that you walk away from today encouraged and with a deeper understanding of how much God loves you. If you'd like to connect with us, we can't wait to reach out to you and pray for you. You can go to realchurch.us/connect. And then also, if you would like to give to what God is doing in and through our ministry, you can do so at realchurch.us/giving, or you can text any amount to 84321, and then just search in the link that comes up, search for Real Church Clearwater. God bless you, and the best is yet to come.